Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Whether you're looking to start a career with no student loans or change careers to land one of the happiest jobs in the world, yep, that's construction, Build Mississippi can help. Visit buildmississippi.com to learn why a career in the trades deserves another look. buildmississippi.com. Your future is waiting.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. It is 5:56 as I record this. Got my coffee here. We did not go last night, obviously, but I did want to give some thoughts about what happened last night and then what I think the future of Ole Miss baseball should look like. Because by the time we go live again tomorrow, there's going to be a lot of football stuff that I want to talk about with you guys. So I figured we'll do baseball this morning. We'll talk about baseball now, kind of get that out of the way, and then push forward because, again, the 2024 football season is something that you guys are clearly really jacked up about. A lot of things are happening. Portal players are committing. So we got a lot to discuss. And so we'll do that. We'll turn the page to football on Thursday night. But for now, this morning, as the sun is rising behind me, we'll talk about last night. The pros of keeping Mike Bianco, that's the conversation. Is it time for Ole Miss to move on? Can they? Should they? And the cons of keeping him and what I think ultimately Ole Miss should do. So that is this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are here. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you have not already, wherever you get them. If you're listening on the website or watching on YouTube, pull out your favorite podcast app, search Rebel Report, subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Also follow me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And before we get into it, I want to tell you the podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. You guys know this already. In sports, especially college sports, injuries are unavoidable. They're going to happen over the course of the season, but they should not happen to you. If you have been personally injured or you have a small business or contract dispute, call attorney DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. They're in Saltillo, Mississippi, to discuss your legal options. Here's the phone number, 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. I don't want you guys to ever have to use that service, but when that day comes, save this number, 662-397-9799. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered for all your personal injury, small business, or contract disputes. So Ole Miss lost to Mississippi State last night. They got walked off and, bottom of the ninth, obviously. And that, that stinks. I know based on my social media feed, a lot of you guys were still locked in on that. Riley Maddox was excellent and didn't get any run support. Ole Miss's offense completely disappeared as of late. Riley Maddox got no help, whether it be from his offense or from his defense behind him. He pitched so much better this season than his numbers indicate. But quite frankly, that game doesn't matter. It was inevitable that Ole Miss was going to lose in Hoover. They were not going to make the postseason after they got swept by LSU. It was not going to happen. And last night was just a mercy ending to this instead of prolonging the inevitable by keeping them in Hoover for another few days. Them losing last night is probably easier for everybody. As weird as that is to say, especially since it was against Mississippi State and Ole Miss could have ruined their hosting chances, and a lot of you guys, I assume, would have really liked that. But it was always going to end with them not making the postseason. They weren't good enough to make the run required to get there. So last night's result doesn't really matter, although some things that happened in the game, multiple errors, no run support for a good pitching performance, are pretty typical of this baseball team. Last night was who they've been really all season long. Obviously, everything that matters about that game is what happens after. I do want to start, though, with a handful of quotes from Will Furness. Will Furness gave, honestly, I really like these, and so I figured instead of being exclusively negative, I would give you something that I think that you should like. So here's a couple of them. One, this was put out by Chase Parham. The full quote here put out by Chase Parham. Quote, this is Will Furness. Wasn't a great season, but it was good with the people we had. It was good with the people we had. We've all had our disagreements with each other and everything and didn't end the way we wanted, but I wouldn't trade what he was referring to as his time with his teammates for anything. Furness then took to Twitter and he said, quote, to clarify this, the word disagreements was a poor choice on my part. What I meant was that we held each other accountable and sometimes that was uncomfortable, but it made us stronger as a team. The season was tough and didn't end the way we hoped, but I deeply value the time spent with my teammates and the effort that we all put in. The way the quote was framed may have given the wrong impression, and I want to make sure my respect and appreciation for my coaches and team are clear. So there's actually one more I'll read to you before I get to some thoughts on this. Here's another quote from Will Furness last night. That's why Coach B has made this program the way it is. Believe it or not, the baseball program used to be non-existent until he came here. He took it from nothing to having. We wouldn't even have fans to be mad about us losing if he didn't turn it around. He's done it before. He has a track record of doing it. Everybody wants to come to Ole Miss. They want to come to the SEC. Yes, we were bad this year, but that doesn't change people wanting to come to Ole Miss. Everybody wants to come to Ole Miss. They love Oxford. They love our fans. Our fans, they'll be back next year, even though we had a bad year, with hope. That's all it takes is hope. So, first of all, that's the kind of I don't like saying stuff like that, like this. You guys know that, because it's hard to attribute effort when you're not right there directly next to somebody. But it did feel like Furness was one of the few guys that clearly from a 30,000-foot view looked like he gave a damn all season long. I really liked, you know, the way he plays. He's one of the few. I don't like saying this, but whatever. It looked like he was one of the few guys on that team that really cared about the uniform he was wearing every time he was on the field. And that comes through with those quotes. That's the kind of mentality, that's the kind of player you need to have in your dugout, in your locker room, on your teams. He even, on Twitter, by the way, somebody said, please don't go. And he was like, there's nowhere I'd rather be. Yeah, he said that on Twitter. Somebody replied to him and said, thank you for everything, Will. Hope to see you back next season. He replied with, thank you. I love Oxford. I love Ole Miss. There's no place I'd rather be. Now, you know, people say things on Twitter and then they do something else, but I believe him here. That's some pretty good stuff. Although I do wonder if I wonder if people are going to read that quote and believe it, frankly, and that's where this conversation turns. Because regardless of what a player says, Ole Miss under Mike Bianco has not been in this position. They have not rocked bottomed like they have the last 2 years, 17 conference wins combined in 2 years. They were at or next to the bottom of every meaningful statistical category. They were the worst fielding team in the SEC by a really wide margin. That they were at or near the bottom in most offensive categories and most pitching categories. They have not been in this position before under Mike Bianco, especially with the era being what it is now, totally different than when he took over Ole Miss. But what Furness said is true, and that's what makes this conversation we're having right now so fascinating, rather unique, honestly. When you're at a place for as long as he's been at Ole Miss for longer than his players have been alive, and Furness is right. Ole Miss baseball wasn't really anything until Mike Bianco got there. He is the one that built it into what it is today. I mean, you have people say that it should be Bianco Field at Oxford University Stadium or Swayze Field at Mike Bianco State, whatever. Build him a statue next to Elko. And all of those things, I think, are earned and justified. You don't have this massive stadium. You don't have the brand power without hiring Mike Bianco. And maybe somebody else could have made it happen, but he was the one that made it happen. That is absolutely true. But just because he's the one that made it happen doesn't mean that what fans are feeling right now is unjust. It doesn't mean that magically next season, everything's just going to be fine again after two disastrous seasons. It doesn't necessarily mean that. And hope is not something that you can sell to Ole Miss fans right now, because they're not buying hope. They had hope going into this season, and they were let down again by a team that woefully underachieved relative to expectations while playing really poor, frankly, unlikable baseball. They weren't even a likable team on top of not being very good. You're not going to sell hope to fans right now. They're not buying hope. They need to see tangible. They need to see material change. And if they don't, then they're not buying at large. Of course, you have fans, and I fall into that category too when it comes to the Saints, for example. I watched highlights from OTAs yesterday, and now I'm completely bought back in on hoping this team will make the playoffs, despite it being removed from all practical thinking. Same thing applies here. You are going to, of course, have some segment of fans that will believe every single year, and programs need those kind of fans. But the fan base at large, they're not buying hope anymore. They're not buying, well, he built the program anymore. It's, yes, he did, but the era has changed dramatically. What is going to be different? Because if they just run it back as is, and now let's get into it right now, if they just run it back as is, you might get people continuing to buy tickets because they want to keep their spots. They don't want to lose their spots because of how in high demand baseball tickets are at Ole Miss, to Mike Bianco's credit. But you've already had a butts in seats problem this season. It's only going to get magnified if nothing material changes. The program's got a lot of problems. It's stale. People use that word all the time, and I think that's an accurate one. The staleness is there. It's obviously there. And all the way down to like the game day stuff, it's the same songs in the same part of the baseball game. It's the Solo Cup races. It's the You Dropped a Bomb on Me. It's Sweet Caroline. It's all the same. Everything just kind of feels monotonous and the exact same as it was 15 years ago. There's been very little real changes in even the way the game day operation is. But the staleness is there, as it's been talked about here and then in other places. The lack of internal development has been a big issue. That the homegrown guys haven't become what they should have become in the years under the program. The portal has not, I mean, it helped. It certainly helped. Fisher was a really good pickup, for example, but Luke Hill had a really good back half of the year at the plate anyway. He's a liability defensively, but he had a really good back half of the year at the plate. Was rounded into form at the plate, but you had some portal pitchers that didn't help really at all. You had a portal outfielder that didn't really give you much. That's not working particularly well. I think they could be a lot more forward-facing when it comes to NIL. You have to wonder if the coaching staff, the assistants are working as needed when you are at the bottom of most statistical categories. Clearly there's some kind of a disconnect. Are you not recruiting well enough? Well, on paper, they recruit extremely well. So where is the disconnect? There are a lot of problems with this program right now. And so that's why this conversation is here. And that's why everybody is talking about, should Ole Miss move on from Mike Bianco? So I kind of made a pros and cons list. Here's the pros for keeping and the cons for keeping. So if they keep Mike Bianco, here's the positive. Here's why they should do that and why they shouldn't, essentially. And then what I would do. I've actually changed my mind on that. So we'll get to that right after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online. ABSMS.com. That's the website. Advantage Business Systems for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their 16 locations here in Mississippi. So there's likely one in your backyard, like there's one right down the road from me. They make you their priority with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection. You can do whatever it is you want to do with your money because a Priority One Bank makes you their priority. So this is the decision that Keith Carter has got to wrestle with over the next couple of days. Because although I have not spoken to Keith myself, quite frankly, I believe, again, I don't know this. This is what I think and what I think only. I think that they want to move on. I think that Keith Carter wants to move on from Mike Bianco and hire a new baseball coach. That's what I think. I don't know that. I haven't talked to Keith, but I think that that is the case. But here's why he may not. And it's a very simple thing, honestly. Regardless of what might be said in a future press release, if they decide to retain, it's money only. It is exclusively about money. In my opinion, the only reason you keep things intact as they are is finances and finances and only finances. And part of this, and he's been criticized for it, and rightfully so, part of this is the fact that the buyout and the contract for a baseball coach, at even at a place like Ole Miss that cares so much, is large and too large, kind of insane. It would, as Chase Parham has reported, it would cost over $7 million to buy Mike Bianco out and his assistants, and then you would have to get a few million more dollars to promise a new coach and his assistants and also raise additional money for NIL. It's an extremely expensive thing to do. That is, although nobody saw a collapse like this coming, you can talk about how the program was stale and stuff like that. But after the championship, even though that team struggled for a large period of time that season, and Ole Miss has been really bad at home for a long time, and they haven't hosted a super regional in 15 years, all of those things are true. But nobody saw this coming. But regardless, if you saw this coming or not, the contract is prohibitive. And that is now an issue. Frankly, in my opinion, that is the only pro. That is the only reason why. If he does stay, that's the only reason why. And if he does stay, that's the only reason why I would not make a change. That is the only pro. As you guys know, the settlement, the big antitrust college sports settlement is going on right now. That's going to cost Ole Miss and every athletic department a lot of money. You've got combined a couple billion dollars in back pay due. And then moving forward, there's $20 million or so coming out of Ole Miss's budget to pay players. They haven't figured out what players are going to get paid yet, what percentage they have. They need to figure all that out. But there is a large amount of money from Ole Miss's budget that is going to essentially just have to disappear because of this lawsuit. Now, I was told yesterday that there's going to be some things that departments are going to be able to do to kind of reduce that number some. Like it won't cost Ole Miss $30 million a year moving forward. It's somewhere, it's south of 20, at least that's the expectation. But it's still a large amount of money that's just poof, gone. And yes, they can trim some fat in the department. I think that they can scale back, although Title IX's an issue with this. But when the players become professionals, maybe there's a workaround, or when they collectively bargain with the money sports, maybe there's a workaround. But for now, there's some fat that they're going to be able to trim in the department. There is excessive spending in sports that don't need excessive spending, frankly. So they'll be able to make some cuts there. There's going to be some accounting stuff that they're going to be able to do to reduce that number some, but it is a very large portion of their budget that is poof, gone. And when they're investing in football the way they're investing, and when they're investing in basketball the way they're investing, and unprecedented for the school's levels, can you stomach and afford $10 million in buyouts and contracts to get a new baseball coach? Is that something that you can actually do? If that answer is no, then that is something that, you know, people will blame Keith Carter for. And, you know, as an AD, you got to wear that. You have a cost prohibitive contract to make a change. Who drew up that contract? Something that I need to get an answer on that I haven't yet is if there's a mitigation clause in Mike Bianco's buyout, where if he were to get a new job, does that salary of his new job come out of his buyout? If that is the case, that makes this a little bit of an easier decision. I haven't heard that anywhere yet. And since, you know, it hasn't been reported, makes me wonder if there's actually not. And if there's no mitigation clause, then I can't believe they did not learn from their Matt Luke mistakes. But I don't know one way or the other. But either way, it's money. Money is the reason why, if they don't make a change, money is the reason why, and frankly, the only reason why football is getting whatever they need, basketball is getting whatever they need, and so shelling out $10 million as you're about to have to cut a large portion of your budget financially could be viewed as a reckless thing to do, especially when it's not like season ticket sales are going to plummet. Now, they're going to have a butts and seats problem next year without change, but it's not like all of you guys are just going to disappear and you're not going to buy tickets anymore. There's at least going to be some expected and stable revenue with baseball, but that is the only reason why you don't make a change is to save money. The cons, or if you keep him, what could happen? Fan morale could plummet. I framed that the wrong way. Here's why you should move on. So that's why you shouldn't. Money, here's why you should. I framed that poorly. Forgive me. It's early. Although, you know, it's after 6 a.m. now. You guys can see the sun coming up now. Here's why you do it. Because fan morale for baseball, I moved to Mississippi 14 years ago. I have never felt fan morale for baseball lower than it is right now. People are emotionally checking out of baseball. I have never heard more negativity around the baseball program than I do today. People are emotionally checking out. And that is a dangerous and risky thing. Because although I think that because of what baseball means to a place like Ole Miss, when you lose people, not everybody comes back unless you start winning at the highest level. Football's a bit of a different animal. Baseball's a little bit of a different animal. But you saw it with basketball this season. Chris Beard had a competitive team. Now, they faltered down the stretch, and everybody knows that. But in year one, you didn't get everybody completely back in for every game. You guys created great environments for a handful of home games, no doubt. But it took a while to get everybody back in anyway. But not everybody was fully bought into basketball this season, despite a obvious forward movement turnaround that had existed within that program. There were some bad crowds for conference games this year for Ole Miss basketball. Because of the years of bad, people checked out, and it takes a little bit to get those people to come back in. Now, baseball and basketball at Ole Miss are different. It's for a lot of people, it's in reverse order than it is typically at most places, but that's a good example, I think, in what you run the risk of. The more you lose, the more people check out, and when people check out, they find something else to do on a Saturday. They enjoy doing that thing on a Saturday. It's harder to get them to recommit that level of time and money. It takes a while to kind of build that back up. You're seeing it with basketball. Again, great crowds this year, but they all weren't great. This season, with the portal and all that, you're going to have, I think, more consistent, better environments all season long, but that's after you hired a top five coach in America. So it takes a while to build back up. Fan morale is a big concern, especially when, as we talk about all the time, and as you guys know, how important baseball is not just to Ole Miss fans, how important baseball is to the community there in Oxford. Having fans checking out will impact Oxford in ways that it doesn't in 99.9% of college towns around the country. Baseball doesn't impact them the way it does at Ole Miss and at Mississippi State, for example, Arkansas. There's a few others. Baton Rouge is so big that baseball doesn't, I don't think, have a material impact on the local economy the way it does here in Mississippi. But you run the risk of costing people if baseball continues to have this level of nothingness around it. You also run the risk of getting left behind in the SEC. The rest of the league is investing. Kentucky won the league this year, although I don't think that if you lose the series, if you're tied at the end of the season and the two teams played each other and one beat the other, that one's the SEC champion, but still. But the other one's Tennessee. Tennessee and Kentucky won the SEC this year. They're investing in baseball. Everybody's investing in baseball. You're adding Texas and Oklahoma, although Oklahoma on a smaller scale than Texas. But those are two more programs that really care about baseball. You're getting investment around the league. Alabama's investing in baseball. They care now. The aforementioned Tennessee is rising. Kentucky is rising. And if you remain the same while everybody else is building, you're just going to get even further left behind. And the standard and the expectations for the program, they're going to remain high. But if you're not making any changes, you're going to fall short of those expectations. And the biggest fear, I think the biggest fear should be if you retain Mike Bianco and he makes no changes. And I think that should be part of it. I know that you can't really force a coach to hire assistants or whatever, but I think in this case, you kind of need to. I don't know how you could possibly run it back without any material change. There is no way, there's absolutely no way it makes any sense to me whatsoever to be as bad as they have been for the last two seasons, embarrassingly so for the last two seasons, without making at least staff changes. I mean, that is something that, in my opinion, has to happen. And if that doesn't happen, then what are you selling to people? What are people buying? Are you really going to get more NIL donations to no material change from this program that had been at the bottom of the SEC for 2 years? Something has to change, even if it's not at the head coach. But that would be a fear that I would have as well, is there's no material changes. Mississippi State, who beat Ole Miss last night, Chris Lemonis was on a super hot seat. And frankly, you can call it turmoil within that program probably saved his job. New athletic director, the tragic and untimely passing of Mike Leach. There was a lot of stuff going on there at Mississippi State. That's probably what saved his job. He goes and hires an elite pitching coach, Justin Parker from South Carolina, and they're fighting for a regional host. They might host a regional. They're very much on the hosting bubble. So that worked at Mississippi State. Maybe that could work at Ole Miss, but at least there was something for them, although the fan base and their morale was really low going into this year. At least there was something to grab a hold on. There was some kind of a change, and that change seemed to have worked. If they run it back with what they've currently got, they're going to get buried and left behind. Some material thing has to change, and if it doesn't, there's a great chance that they are the exact same, and there's a even greater chance that your fan base that loves and is passionate about baseball is not going to care when the season begins in the same way that they do in the past. But here's the thing. What do they do? The other day, I told you guys that I think that they need to make a change. This is kind of waffling a little bit, but the only way that I think that Keith Carter should make a change here is if new money comes in that is specifically given to him to make a change in baseball. The heater that they are on and the sports that generate real revenue is such that I think that you cannot do anything other than make sure that they are fully funded without wanting for anything. And if firing baseball coach to the tune of up to $10 million to fire him, his staff, and bring in replacements, if that impacts in any way, shape, or form football and men's basketball, I've changed my mind on this. I know you can't do it, because Ole Miss athletics is on the precipice of moving itself up a tier if Lane Kiffin and Chris Beard just meet expectations. They don't have to exceed expectations. If they meet expectations, the return that Ole Miss is going to get on that is gigantic. They are so close to moving up a tier in football. They are so close to being a team that participates in the NCAA tournament with some level of regularity in basketball because of who they have at head coach and how well-funded they are in the NIL space. Ole Miss has more money in basketball than I expected that they ever would when it comes to NIL. Are they Kentucky or whatever? Of course not. But there's a lot of money there. And they've done a really good job so far. There's still like another piece or two in the portal that they should add. But they are very, very close to being a program that you look at as they can make the tournament with some degree of regularity as long as Chris Beard is there. And they've already fought off Arkansas to keep him. They've already fought off Auburn to keep Lane Kiffin. They're a preseason top 10 football team. You guys know all of this already. You cannot afford to screw any of that up, in my opinion. So if new money is brought in to make a change, sure, go for it at that point. But my conclusion is don't change a thing unless it is new money. If it's going to impact football, men's basketball in any way, shape, or form, don't do it. And I know that there are others in the podcast space that share that opinion, and they're right, I think. But this is one of those weird things where I think that nobody is wrong. If you think that they should make a change, I don't think you're wrong, because the risks of, as we laid out a second ago, are real. Losing fan support, falling behind as a program, impacting the local economy in Oxford and the way the university recruits to baseball, or recruits students to baseball. That's all real. So you're not wrong if you think that that's what they should do. And if you're not wrong if you're on the side that I just laid out, where if it's money that could be taken away from football, men's basketball, don't do it because of the heaters that they're on right now. It is a very difficult decision that Keith Carter's got ahead of him. And we will see and, of course, talk about what they do when they decide to do it. It's a difficult thing, though, for sure. I have a feeling if this settlement wasn't coming, it would be over. That might be the thing that is preventing Ole Miss from making a change. We'll see if they actually do it. Very, very interesting times ahead for Ole Miss baseball. Very good times ahead for Ole Miss football. We will talk about that on Thursday night as we get back to having live streams again. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. I appreciate you. I'm going to go put the coffee in the microwave, put this up on the podcast feed, and I will start getting to work on the radio show. I'll see you guys tomorrow night, and thank you, of course, for tuning in. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Mid-Delta Auction Company is holding a spring equipment auction Thursday, March the 20th from their location across from Cannon Motors in Greenwood. Visit mdauction.com for more information. That's mdauction.com. We'll see you there.